Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths. Please, O Lord our God, make the words of your Torah sweet in our mouths, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel, in the mouths of your people, in the mouths of the house of Israel.
I need 3 volunteers, not to do anything hard. Come on up here. Okay. I have something to give to these guys, so you hold on to this, and you hold on to this, and you hold on to this. Good. So let me tell you what's happening here. Last week I wasn't with you. I was speaking at our sister congregation, Ahavat Zion, in Los Angeles. Sue and I had a great time, and it was terrific being with friends and blah, blah. I brought a message from Parashat Yitro, which was the parasha from last week, but this week I thought, it's really a worthy thing to talk about. I am going to kind of repeat what I said last week. Now, I'm going to begin with, you know how the rabbis, they love to notice things about the letters of the Hebrew language? For example, the bet at the beginning of the Bible, Bereshit. They love that. And I have enjoyed a little ditty, if you will, a little section of this type of thing from the rabbinic literature, and I'm going to share it with you as kind of an introduction. What we have, hold up that first letter, and we have, what's this letter here?
Aleph,
followed by? And? Tav, right? Get this. Otiot, that is the letters of Otielt shel Emet. What does Emet mean? Truth. Oh, you guys are good. Otiot shel Emet b'shte reglayim. What is a regel? Does anyone know what a regel? A foot, right? Reglayim is the plural. The otiot, the letters of the word emet, stand on 2 legs. See? Take a look at that. And here, 2 legs, and here, 2 legs, right? So here, it goes on to say, kol osei emet, everyone who does emet, mikuyam. Anyone know what that means? Established. Kol osei emet mikuyam. Everyone who does truth is established. Vashel sheker, show the second letter. Put that one in front. Vashel sheker. Ooh, do you know what sheker means? A lie, right? Vashel sheker beregel echad. How many feet?
One.
Kol osei sheker enei mikuyam, eno mikuyam, are not established. So everyone who does truth, show the first letter, please, first letter. Mikuyam, but shel sheker enei mikuyam. Otiot shel emet me ruchakim. Come with me, young man. Stand over here. Lawrence, you stay where you are. But Laura, if I can ask you to move way over here. Otiot shel emet me ruchakim. What do you think ruchakim may mean? Far away from each other. If you look at the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph is the first letter, then you have to go all the way to the middle of the alphabet to get to Mem. And what's at the end? Otiot shel emet me ruchakim, but shel sheker, turn to the second letter, please, and get very close together, like, you know, kichiku type of thing. Yeah, there you go. B'shel sheker mechorvin. The letters are right on top of each other. Now here's the lesson from this. Emet kashe la'asot. Who knows what kashe means? Difficult, hard. Emet, truth, is difficult to do. But sheker, show the second one, it's readily at hand. So truth is hard to come by, but lies are everywhere. Let's give them a great big round of applause. Thank you so much, folks. You did great. Appreciate your help very much. Hope you don't feel too victimized by that. So again, the lesson is about truth. That's what we're going to be talking about. And the idea is that the Hebrew alphabet has certain little characteristics that sages and rabbis noticed about the letters and their formation and about the distance they are from one each other. And they say, Emmet, you know, truth is hard to find. But lies are everywhere. Have you noticed that? So I want to talk with you about Yitro, who is the father-in-law of Moses. He was a pagan priest, of an area called Midian. And I want to tell you a little bit about him and how he epitomized the good side of the equation. So let me read to you a little bit. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and bowed down to him and kissed him. They greeted each other and went into the tent. When did this happen? Moses was in the wilderness with our people, and he had not seen his wife for quite a while. She was staying with her dad with their two boys. But the father-in-law, Yitro, and Moses' wife and the boys came to visit Moses in the wilderness. Moses told his father-in-law about everything the Lord had done to Pharaoh and the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and about all the hardships they had met along the way, and how the Lord had saved them. Now notice this. Yitro was delighted to hear about all the good things the Lord had done for Israel in rescuing them from the hand of the Egyptians. Now notice what he says next. This is Yitro. And Yitro said this, Vayomer Yitro. And Yitro said, Baruch Adonai, Asher Hatzil Etchem Miyad Mitzrayim Umiyad Pharaoh. Praise be to the Lord, who rescued you from the hand of the Egyptians and Pharaoh, and who rescued the people from the hand of the Egyptians. Notice this. He says this. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for he did this to those who had treated Israel arrogantly. Then Yitro, Moses' father-in-law, brought a burnt offering and offered sacrifices to God. And Aaron, the priest, came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law in the presence of the Lord. Isn't that cool? Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Now let me talk a little bit about this fellow Yitro. Who was he? Well, he was a priest in Midian. Now, where's Midian? Well, if you just think of a map of the Middle East a little bit, and you got Israel and the Sinai comes down to the south, we'll talk about that. And if you look at the map and look to the right and a little bit down, you'll be looking at what today is called Saudi Arabia. And Midian was in northeastern Saudi Arabia, and he was a priest of the moon god, because the moon god was a major deity among the nomadic and pagan people living in that area. He was a priest of a moon god, not the real god, but a moon god. And he frequented a place called the Mountain of God, which, let me say parenthetically, I believe is Mount Sinai. I'll explain more about that. In northeast Saudi Arabia, I don't think the place that is commonly thought of as Yabu Masa is the actual Mount Sinai, for lots of reasons we won't get into. But anyhow, he's there, he's the priest, and he's the priest of this area in northeastern Saudi Arabia, and he's at this place called Mount Bidir, this mountain, which it, actually the cone of it is an active volcano, and it's shaped exactly like a circle, like a full moon. And so some scholars feel that this actually was the Mount Sinai in northeastern Saudi Arabia. So the idea here is that we have Israel's most famous convert, Yitro. Now, it could be argued maybe, who else would you think is a famous convert to Israel, to Ruth? She gets a book named after her, so she's very famous. He gets a parsha named after him, so it's a toss-up. But he is one of the premier, in Jewish tradition, one of the premier converts to the Jewish people. And rabbis give various reasons. You know, why did he convert? Why did he embrace the God of Israel? And some people thought, well, when he saw how Israel defeated Amalek, then that did it for him. He said, wow, the God of Israel is really the strong, the real God. And others felt that it was at the giving of the Torah. He experienced that. Others at the splitting of the Red Sea. But the point is that he experiences the truth about God, he hears about God, and he responds to the truth of God and becomes this pagan priest who becomes a follower of the God of Israel. And again, according to Jewish tradition, he actually converted to Judaism at that point. And here's the question. Do you think it was that easy for Yitro to come to this conclusion and act on it? He was a priest of a pagan area, and he had to go back to his congregation and say, I'm not sure how to say in Midian, but I think we got it wrong. You see, the moon is not God. It is something God made and put in the sky to help us denote seasons and all that, but it's not God. So I want to suggest that it took a lot of courage to act on the truth. You see, emet kashe la'asot. Emet is difficult to do. It's not easy. But he responded to the truth. And that begs the question for us today. How can truth, which is not that easy to find, how can it change us? Or what can we do to participate in the process of taking truth into ourselves? Because we have a problem. We're all so busy, and we're influenced in lots of ways that, some of which I should say, we're not even consciously aware. I'll give you an example. It's amazing how we're influenced. Sue told me about the Children's Museum. She took the grandkiddies to the Children's Museum. And in the Children's Museum in Boston, they have Grandma's House. And in Grandma's House is a pink refrigerator. Would you have a pink refrigerator if you had your choice? No. But there was a time not long ago that you would have thought a pink refrigerator was great. What changed? It's that subliminally and over time, your tastes change because of influences on you that you're not even consciously aware of, that we're not consciously aware of, and all of a sudden, a pink refrigerator, forget about it. How many of you wear tie-dye shirts regularly? You know? Not many. Now, these are relatively superficial examples of what we're talking about. But the point is, we are influenced, and sometimes we're influenced in ways that are not helpful, but we're not powerless in this equation. We can transcend some of the influences to a degree where we can seek truth, even though truth is not always that easy to come about. The question then can be expressed this way. Do we want to be like the word sheker, which is not established? Or do we want to be like Aleph and Mem and Tav, which are firmly established in truth? That is the question. And I want to suggest a very practical strategy for this. Point is that all of us, again, I would even go so far as to say that we're subject to brainwashing, given the power, the psychological power of the advertising industry, and let's not even get into what false news is, fake news, whether the source of fake news is the mainstream media or it's not the mainstream media. That's not the issue I want to deal with. But we are subject to influences that are powerful and pervasive. And again, how do we become like Yitro, who's mikuyam, who's established like those letters of the alphabet? So I have a very specific strategy to suggest to you. And it is called the Daily Devar. How many of you are familiar with the Daily Devar? Okay. Oh, a number of you are. Okay, good. So the Daily Devar is actually the brainchild of a team of people, including Ralph and Michelle and Sue, and I was involved to some extent. And what it is a reading program to help take you through the entire Bible in 1 year, reading the whole thing by giving 12 to 15 minutes a day, because we timed it. How long it would take to read the passage is going slower. You know, people read at different rates. 12 to 15 minutes. And the way it works is that every day there's a section of the Torah to read, and there's a section of other parts of the Bible to read, the prophets, and then a section of the Besorah, the new covenant scriptures, the New Testament, which for us as a Messianic Jewish community is very much part of Scripture. And so what it does is take you Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday through chapters, but then when you get to Friday, you read the Parsha that we'll read here on Saturday morning. So you're getting exposed to the entire flow of the Scripture, and with an emphasis on the passages that we'll be reading the next day. Now, why is this important? It becomes important because we need to do something to help us maintain what I like to call the big wow. You ever hear me say that? Can we say that together? Humor me. The big wow. Yeah, what's the big wow? The influences that we're getting all the time are not necessarily bad. In fact, a lot of them are necessary and good, but a lot of them have nothing to do with the big wow. What is the big wow? Well, the big wow is that there is a God. That this God is not a blind force, like in Star Wars, but has a personality, and although he is beyond human understandings of gender, he chooses to present himself with a deep masculinity as his primary identifier that we can relate to. So we don't say she God, you know, he, the God, the Lord God of Israel. And that this God, get this, it's part of the big wow, that he cares about you. Cares about you. That is, even though the universe is massive, and the more we learn about the size of the universe, the more we realize how incredibly extensive it is, how many billions and billions of galaxies, not meant to mention the stars in the galaxies, it is a big, big place. And in fact, the scientists say it's even expanding. That this God cares about you and what you think about and what you do and how you're making out in life, and whether you're experiencing joy, whether you're learning to make teshuvah, to repent of bad things. He cares about the whole thing so much that we could say he cares about you as if you were the only person around. I don't think we're being irrational or overly hyperbolic when I say that. He is that fantastic, and he's that interested. And he stepped into history. This is the best part. This is the best part. I love Rabbi Nathan's prayer earlier today, which included Yeshua, who is stepped into history, as did Moses, of course, but Yeshua, this quintessential expression of God's love, where the Messiah actually gives himself, willingly allows himself to be killed as an atonement for you and for me. I mean, this is phenomenal stuff. And it is the emet, it is the truth. But many of the influences that we experience every day, I would say most, even though they may be very reasonable and good influences, are not mentioning anything that takes me right to the big wow. The big wow you got to get by being exposed to those ideas, and I'm suggesting to you a particular strategy for experiencing the big wow. So here's what I'm going to ask you to do, if you haven't done it already, some of you have. On the Ruach website, ruachisrael.org, you'll find the Daily Devar. Give that 12 to 15 minutes a day. You don't have to understand everything you're reading. You're not even supposed to stop and think about it, because that'll take lots of time. Allow it to just permeate your being day after day. It's like taking spiritual vitamins, you know? I take vitamin D3, I highly recommend, and there's other vitamins. But this is even more important. If you want to live in the big wow, Yitro was delighted to hear all the good that the Lord had done for Israel. Experience the big wow through the Daily Devar, and you will find a year from now, you're going to be a happier person, you're going to be more oriented to truth, you're going to be able to put different problems and issues in your life into a perspective that if you just look at them at a horizontal way without God's involvement, you'll miss. And you will be molded in the image of God, which is his purpose for you, to become more like him. And so, Walk in emet. Live for the big wow and enjoy the daily devar. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
In the mouths of the house of Israel, and may the descendants and the descendants of